If you're visiting with us today, we want you to know that we are a biblical church. We believe the Bible is God's word, and it's our normal practice every Sunday to preach and teach consecutively through books of the Bible. Sometimes we do topical series, but normally most of the time we're just going through books and looking at the passage. What does it say? What does it mean? And how do we live it out? And we're in a series in the Gospel of Luke. And we're just continuing that today. We're in Luke chapter 6, and we're actually not just in the middle of a gospel, but in the middle of a sermon. This is one of Jesus' most famous sermons in Luke 6 called the Sermon on the Plain, and we're about halfway done with it, and we're just going to pick back up today. I'm actually going to read a little more than what's in the bulletin. That'll be our focus area, the judge not, but I'm going to start a little bit earlier and go a little bit longer. So I just invite you to listen as I read. This is what Jesus preached about 2,000 years ago to a mixed audience, but he was directing it to his disciples. He was looking at his disciples, and this is what he says. So starting back in verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great in heaven, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And then our focus for today, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And this is the word of the Lord. A few months ago now, I ended up watching for like 10 minutes just a clip of that old reality TV show, Hell's Kitchen, if anyone has seen that or heard of that. It's a reality cooking show where all these chefs come on and try to win a bunch of money. And I realized watching, not that I've watched much of it, just a few clips here and there, but the reason why this show was so popular is that the main guy, Gordon Ramsay, he's just really good at finding things wrong with people and mercilessly picking them apart. I mean, if you've ever seen the show, that's what it's based on. And this little clip I watched, several would-be chefs presented their food to him, and he just ripped them up, you know, spitting out the food. Who taught you to cook? I mean, it reminded me of basic training, honestly. If you've ever been through basic training, it is the job of the drill instructor to find something wrong with you and then mercilessly pick you apart for it. I mean, that is their job. I mean, if you look hard enough, there's something wrong with all of us. And of course, in basic training, you I guess you expect that. That's part of the experience, is to have people looking at you with a critical eye. And reality TV is reality TV. But I'm sure we know that mindset of just judging people, trying to find something wrong with them, enjoying condemning them and picking apart, that is very much a way that reflects the way people can treat each other, just in general. It may not be as obvious as that. It may be more on the inside than outside, but that is a way that oftentimes we approach other people. I would actually go so far as to say I think it's the default mode of the human heart to judge others mercilessly, to look and find fault and condemn and pick apart. And so as we continue in Jesus' sermon, speaking to his disciples, Jesus is, he knows this, and so he's warning his disciples, you're not to be that way in the way you relate to others. Instead, you are to reflect a different posture. You are to show mercy to others as you have received mercy. And so we'll get into that as we look at this pretty well-known passage from Jesus. I want to talk this morning about the kind of judgment Jesus forbids, judge not. And then we'll look at, secondly, how to be a better judger. And we'll spend our time there. So the kind of judgment Jesus forbids. So this command, you do not judge, verse 37, judge not. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Of course, it's a pretty well-known commandment of Jesus today, and in our culture, it's been totally reinterpreted to mean something it doesn't mean. Oftentimes, people quote this verse, and what they mean is you can't say anything negative about anybody else. You can't critique anybody. You can't say that anything's right and wrong, because that would be judging someone. The great sin of our day and our culture is to be guilty of imposing your views on others. God forbid you impose your views on somebody else. God forbid that you would dare critique or evaluate anybody's beliefs or behavior and say one is right and one is wrong. And so it's been jokingly said that this verse is the favorite verse of the non-Christian because they love to say this to Christians. You Christians talk about sin and righteousness and evil. Jesus said to judge not, so stop it. And of course, that's not at all what Jesus is talking about here. When he says, do not judge, he's not forbidding moral evaluation of any kind or anything like that. Even in context, Jesus, if you were listening, says, you hypocrite. And then he calls certain people evil and good. I mean, Jesus himself is making many moral judgments. Jesus has no problem with moral evaluations, as we will see as we go through the gospel. And the Bible is filled with calls for Christians to have discernment as they live in this world, to be wise, to be able to discern good from evil, sin from righteousness. That's actually part of what we're called to do as Christians. We could go farther briefly and just say it's actually impossible to live life without making moral evaluations and judgments about right and wrong. Everybody does that, whether you're religious, non-religious. I once heard a pretty well-known Christian apologist teacher share an encounter that he had with a non-Christian who said to him something to the effect of, you know, you Christians, on the whole, you're pretty nice people, but then you get judgmental. And so this guy's response I thought was good. He said, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being judgmental? And then the response was, well, you shouldn't do that. It's wrong to tell people that they're wrong. And of course, you can see where this is going. He said, well, then why are you doing that to me right now? Why are you judging me? And as the point is, everybody judges. Everybody makes moral evaluations about what is right and what is wrong. We can't help but do that. So that's not what Jesus is forbidding. Well, what then is he forbidding? When he says judge not, he obviously means something. And I think we can understand this passage if we see, first of all, he's forbidding a merciless judgment of others and then a hypocritical judgment. So let me just say something about each of those. Jesus is forbidding a merciless judgment of other people. So right before this verse, judge not, of course, is verse 36, where he says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So that comes right before the teaching on judging. Just as we are people who have received mercy from God, that has to inform the way that we treat other people. And then right into, so when he says judge not and condemn not, he's talking about a judging and condemning that is done without mercy, relating to others in a harsh, critical, picking apart, condemning kind of way. And the two positive commands that follow verse 37, where he says forgive and give, I think help us understand what he's getting at. We're to relate to others, not with condemnation, but with mercy. We are to have a posture of forgiveness. When somebody wrongs us or we see somebody do something wrong, do we hold grudges? Do we speak evil about them? Do we cut off the relationship, or do we have a gracious posture, a merciful willingness to forgive? And he says, give, and it will be given to you, right? And then he says, with the measure you use, or sorry, not the that's later. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Now, he's using imagery here from the marketplace of that day. A measure was something if you were buying in the marketplace and you're buying, let's say, grain, they would shake it out in a measure and then it would be half full and you'd shake it and put more in to make sure that you were getting what you paid for. You're getting a full measure for paying for a full measure. And so the idea is Jesus saying, give people what you owe them, and you know, it's kind of implied that you'll get more back in return. God will bless you for that. What is the point here? You know, give what? When Jesus says give, what's he talking about? Doesn't actually say. It's my understanding that this verse is sometimes used to support like raising money for building campaigns. Give and it will come back to you. And maybe there's a general principle there that God will bless you as you give. I mean, I do believe that properly nuanced, but that's clearly not what he's talking about here. This is not a call to financial giving. When he says give, it's talking about our posture with others. Give what? Give grace to other people. Right? Be generous with people as you come across them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume the worst about others. Don't rush to judgment. I mean, how often do people judge and condemn others without knowing all of the facts? But there's a rush to judgment, or we condemn others assuming that we know why they did something when we don't actually know that. We're just assuming that we know. It happens all of the time. I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Give, and it will be given to you. Give generously with people. Give grace. I mean, it comes back to the golden rule, which he shares. You expect others, we expect others to be patient and gracious with us when they judge us. We expect them to seek to understand us before they pronounce condemnation on our behavior or thoughts. Well, we ought to do that for other people. So a merciless judgment. And of course, this is a great challenge to all of us. The problem that Jesus is addressing is one that is deeply ingrained, I think, in human nature. The pastor and theologian John Calvin, writing hundreds of years ago, said this: these words of Jesus are intended to cure a disease which appears to be natural to us all. We see how everyone flatters themselves and then passes a severe censure on others. This vice is attended by some strange enjoyment, for there's hardly any person who's not tickled with inquiring into other people's faults. I think that's right. I think that's why we like to watch Hell's Kitchen. We just have a strange enjoyment of seeing people get picked apart. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh preacher, warns against a spirit that looks for the worst in people, that somehow gets some sort of satisfaction in finding faults and weaknesses and blemishes in other people, and is almost disappointed if we don't find them. And so these are challenging words. Jesus wants us to ask ourselves, what is my posture towards other people? Do I approach other people with mercy, a willingness to forgive and be gracious, or am I hypercritical? Am I always passing judgment? And there's a strong warning here. With the measure you use, verse 38, Jesus says it will be measured back to you. The way you treat others is the way you can expect to be treated. And while that's probably true on a general level most of the time, if you're harsh and unforgiving towards people, most likely people are going to treat you that way. But I think what Jesus is ultimately talking about is this is how God will treat us. If we judge others and condemn others and will not forgive others, then that is exactly how we should expect God to treat us. And that's not because we somehow earn God's forgiveness by forgiving other people, but because someone whose life is characterized by harsh, critical, always condemning, not willing to forgive, it reveals something about our heart. It reveals a heart that's evil, that's not been touched by God's grace. And this is why we read continued reading where Jesus talks about the good tree and the bad tree, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if out of your mouth, these two are connected, are just coming criticism and condemnation, that reveals a bad heart, a heart that doesn't know God, that hasn't received grace from him. So Jesus condemns a merciless judgment, and then he also forbids a hypocritical judgment. And here is that fairly well-known illustration he gives about the man with the log in his eye who tries to remove a speck. I think it's intended to be almost funny. I mean, kids, if you can just imagine someone with a giant piece of wood hanging out of his eye and then going to somebody else and saying, but you got a crumb on your cheek. It's meant to show. It's ridiculous. Why would you do this? But that's the point. Jesus says that's hypocritical. The word hypocrite is a word that comes from drama and acting. Back in the ancient world, when an actor would play a different role, they'd hold up a mask to their face. And so a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be someone whom they are not. And so what Jesus is forbidding here is going to others, judging them for their faults, while either denying or just ignoring the fact that we've got our own issues. We've got our own faults. We're not righteous either. And it's especially hypocritical when there are massive sins in our own life that we tolerate or are blind to while we, you know, try to point out the sins of others, which of course happens, unfortunately, all too frequently. The pastor who preaches passionately about the need for purity, and then it comes out later that while he was doing that, he was, you know, being unfaithful to his wife, or just the church member who's always getting in other people's faces for being late to church. Stop being late to church. Meanwhile, they've been stealing from their employer for the last 5 years. Yes, it's good to be on time for church, but why are you correcting them while you're egregiously violating the 8th commandment? Right? It's hypocritical. Doesn't make sense. And Jesus is pointing out this is hypocritical, and it's also harmful. You harm other people when you act like this. And I think that is the point of that parable that Jesus tells, which is right in the middle of this section, verses 39 and 40. It's interesting. I was really wrestling with 39 and 40. Like, what does this mean? A blind man can't lead a blind man, and a disciple doesn't advance beyond his teacher. It seems like it interrupts the flow, but I think the point is this. The blind person that he's talking about is the person who has the log in his eye and is trying to correct somebody else. Saying, if you are blind to your own issues, if you won't acknowledge them, you won't deal with them, and then you try to go and disciple others or correct others, you're going to harm them. You're going to make them like yourself. That's the point of the second parable. A disciple doesn't rise above his teacher. You try to teach people. You want people to follow you. You try to correct people. They're going to become like you. And if you're blind, you're going to make them blind. I think that's the point here. How can you truly teach, correct others if you don't understand and have major sin areas in your own life? They're just going to become like you. And that's a really actually challenging thought if you think about it. If you're a pastor or a church leader and you are judgmental, condemning, hypocritical, your church is going to reflect that. Right? If you're a business leader, the culture of your business is going to reflect the way you treat people. If you're a parent, right, the way you speak to your kids, if you're judging, condemning, it's going to change the culture of your home. A disciple doesn't rise greater than the person who's discipling them. So don't harm them. So Jesus condemns merciless and hypocritical judgment. But Is there any hope? Well, there is. Jesus also tells us, while he condemns this strongly, there is a way to be a better judger. And that's the second point that we'll consider briefly. And how do we judge people rightly? Well, Jesus does not say, again, note this briefly, don't make judgments at all. It's always wrong to judge people. That's not the point. In fact, the church is supposed to be the kind of community where we have people in our life that can point out the specks in our eye, that can encourage us and even challenge us if need be. That's one of the benefits of the church, because all of us struggle with sin. None of us are perfect. We all have specks in our eye. We're prone to wander, and sometimes we need someone who's able to lovingly come alongside us and gently restore us, or what the Bible calls admonish us or exhort us. That's a good thing, but how do you do that without being hypocritical, without being a merciless judge of others? Well, Jesus gives one very simple but important principle. Verse 42, get the log out of your own eye first. That's how you become a better judger. Acknowledge and repent of your own sin before you go and call other people to repent of theirs. Be more concerned about your own sin than about the sins of others. See your own need of grace and mercy first, and then you might be in a better position to point it out to others. Now, as a side note, this is one of the reasons why we have a confession of sin every week in church. It's a way of getting the log out of our own eye, so to speak. We humble ourselves before God. We're not righteous people. We need God's grace and mercy. See, the gospel is humbling. To follow Jesus is humbling, right? The cross exposes us all as sinners who need grace, that none of us are righteous, that if God were to judge me and give me exactly what I deserve, well, that would not be a good thing. I would have no hope, for I'm a sinner, right? The cross reminds me that I am so bad that only the death of Jesus could save me. Or as the late Jack Miller said, I'm far worse than I ever thought I was. Right? That's the message of the cross. I'm a far worse person than I ever was willing to admit before. And that changes us, though, doesn't it? If we recognize that about ourselves, but then we see the gospel, which pronounces to us, that is true, but in Christ, you're far more loved than you ever dared imagine. In Christ, you don't get what you deserve. God has taken the judgment from you, and now you receive mercy. Now you receive grace. God, who could have judged you, has not. Jesus has taken the judgment for you. God, who could have condemned you, has not. Jesus was condemned in your place. So there's no condemnation for me now. That changes us, changes our whole posture. And that undeserved grace continues daily. Jesus continues to intercede for us every day, every week. We continue to fail God and sin, and yet Jesus doesn't judge us or pick us apart or condemn us. No, he intercedes on our behalf. Every time we fall short, every time we doubt God or grumble against him, Jesus is our advocate. He blesses us, prays for us before the Father. And if that's a reality in our life, then of course it completely changes how we relate to others, how we judge others. It levels the playing field, because instead of condemning other people from above them, well, we're all on the same level now. We come alongside each other. It changes our posture. We're no more righteous than anybody else, so we don't have a merciless judgment. We have received grace ourselves, so we're able to give grace to others, and it helps us with hypocrisy. Right? We don't have to pretend to be something we're not. We don't have to pretend to not be a sinner. Otherwise, Jesus would not have had to die. We can rest that Christ has forgiven our sins. We can rest that Christ is our righteousness. So we can lay down the defenses and the insecurities that often lead us to desire to pick people apart. It's wonderfully freeing when the gospel goes deep to be able to take out the log and rest in the mercy of God. And so the final call for today is, we live as disciples, as we try to follow Jesus in our families, our workplaces, our neighborhoods. The call is to simply let the mercy that we have received from God reflect the way that we treat other people. Don't be merciless judges. Don't look down on people. Don't look to criticize and critique, but seek to build up. Give grace to people. Be generous in our judgments. Be willing to forgive, just as God in Christ has forgiven us all of our sins so freely. And what a difference it would make if we did that. The world is a very harsh place. It really is. The world, there's not a lot of forgiveness in the world, despite all of the talk. It's very harsh. You make a mistake, you are quickly judged, you're canceled, you'll get picked apart. That's the world we live in. As Calvin was right, we all have a disease in our heart that loves to do this. It's called sin. And what a witness for Christ if we as Christians could live differently, if our churches were different. People walked into the church and they realized, wow, people talk differently about each other here. They treat each other differently. What a way for us to be salt and light in an ungracious world to be able to do this. So may God help us to do it, both for his glory and our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus and these challenging words about judging people, condemning people. Lord, we confess our proneness to do that, but we also ask and thank you for the grace, for even as Jesus told us to judge not, we know he was on the way to the cross to take the judgment that we deserved and to give us his Holy Spirit to change us, that we could go and live out this kind of ethic. Please help us to do that this week for your glory. Amen.